The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
But for it to end, they have to be in a position where the Ukrainians have all that they can reasonably expect, we can reasonably expect to get to them in order to provide for their physical security and their defenses. And so one does not relate to the other. They need it. We're going to be providing another, well, I guess I'll announce it shortly, but another $800 million in aid for additional weaponry, including, weapons, including air defense system, as well as offensive weapons. I have a whole list I'd be happy to give you, but that's the next tranche that's going to occur.
There's your illegitimate president talking, well, whatever he's trying to say this morning. And if you heard yesterday's program, for all that they did and said, those communists in the media, when Donald Trump had trouble lifting a glass or whatever it was, and then this—I mean, this happens on a daily basis, basically. I'm surprised he didn't bring up the clavicles. This is Joe Biden earlier today in, I think it was Spain, and to one person's credit, at least. We'll get to the AP reporter in just a second, talking about how that 85% of Americans think that we're headed in the wrong direction. Wow. And what was Biden's response to that? Oh, that's not true. It's just not true. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. To get to the live video stream, however, you've got to go to our very own website. We offer it exclusively at thetrumpet.com. I've got it up right here on my laptop. Thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. Takes you right to the live stream page. And also you get the past 15 episodes of this show posted after the fact if you need to catch up on your TD viewing. We've had some pretty good shows this week. If you missed Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, just go to that page, thetrumpet.com/live, and watch those shows from Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday if you happen to miss them. So he's there with European leaders in Spain today, and listen to this exchange from an AP reporter and the fake president. This is clip 6.
After the shootings in Buffalo and Texas, at a time of record inflation, and as new polling this week shows that 85% of the U.S. public thinks the country is going in the wrong direction. How do you explain this to those people who feel the country is going in the wrong direction, including some of the leaders you've been meeting with this week, who think that when you put all of this together, it amounts to an America that is going backward?
They do not think that.
So there you go. What do you say to 85% of Americans who believe the country is going in the wrong direction? Answer, they don't think that. Okay then. World leaders, they don't think that. That's Joe Biden this morning. Denying, well, this isn't, according to the AP. I mean, this is a poll. The AP's reporting on it. Here's the written report. An overwhelming and growing majority of Americans say the U.S. is heading in the wrong direction, including nearly 8 in 10 Democrats. Nearly 80% of Democrats believe this. According to a new poll that finds deep pessimism about the economy plaguing President Joe Biden. The AP says here 85% of U.S. adults say the country is on the wrong track, and 79% describe the economy as poor, according to a new survey from the Associated Press. and the NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. The finding, it says, the finding suggests Biden faces fundamental challenges as he tries to motivate voters to cast ballots for Democrats in November's midterm elections. Talks about the skyrocketing inflation and so on. I mean, it's just every day. I don't even know if this illegitimate administration has said a word about this this tractor trailer where 50, I think it's over 50 now, 50 migrants. They just basically they suffocate in that trailer? They were locked in there. And then the driver of this tractor trailer, you know, the human smuggler, he was on meth or some kind of illegal drug. This is a horrible, horrible story. And 50 people, many of them teenagers, they just burned to death, suffocated. That's happening because of the out-of-control border, the southern border. The Supreme Court didn't exactly help out this morning with its ruling, basically reversing a Trump policy, the Remain in Mexico policy. And so they're doing their part now, back and forth. They smacked the EPA down at least. But then on the other ruling, thanks to Kavanaugh, make it a wide open border. If people die coming across the border, and of course ranchers could tell you some stories on that front. 50 people in a trailer. It says here, inflation has consistently eclipsed the healthy 3.6% unemployment. So there's more jobs, and that's really inflated because of COVID, the lockdowns. Of course there's more jobs. When you lock everything down and then you finally start to reopen it, there's going to be a few more jobs. And that's what the Biden people, that's what they're hanging their hat on. That and, of course, this sham January 6th committee. And Liz Cheney, she's out at the Reagan Library in California yesterday or last night. She's praising this woman, this 25-year-old woman, who's been thoroughly discredited, debunked. What did Cheney say about Hutchinson? She said her bravery and patriotism were awesome to behold. I mean, this is a brave woman. The woman that told the story about the clavicles. You know, Trump went after the clavicles, don't you know? Awesome to behold, says Cheney. Little girls all across this great nation are seeing what it really means to love this country and what it really means to be a patriot. That's what she says about Cassidy Hutchinson, who's just out there telling one lie after another lie. Listen to Jake Tapper. I mean, he's over at CNN. And to his credit, he, just like that AP reporter, he's grilling Jamie Raskin, who sits on the committee, saying, is there anybody that's corroborated this story? I mean, you interviewed the two. She names names, Cassidy does. She mentions the two guys on Secret Service. No wonder they were so quick to respond, saying, hey, we'll come under oath here. We'll testify. They've already been interviewed by this sham of a committee, these two. And yet there's Liz Cheney, even after the lie was fully exposed, within hours of her testimony. And yet it's already out there, and that's the whole point of it, isn't it? Just get the lie out there. It's like with impeachment 1.0 and the same with impeachment 2.0 and here's impeachment 3.0. Just tell the lie. That's all that matters. Listen to this exchange between Jake Tapper and Jamie Raskin, clip 8.
Do you have any corroborating evidence that story is true, or do you only have it from Cassidy Hutchinson?
Well, the story that she told is the evidence that I'm aware of, at least within
her story is the only version you know of.
And I've not seen anything to contradict it.
But what I'm saying is your committee interviewed Tony Amato and Stephen Engel, who supposedly told her this story. And I don't doubt her. I'm sure Amato told her the story. But your committee interviewed them. Did you ask about this story? It is a shocking story. I mean, maybe you didn't know about it at the time. I don't know.
I was not involved in either of those interviews.
Right, but you would agree that that story would be stronger if you had corroborating evidence from the individuals who were actually in the presidential limo.
Sure. And we're encouraging every material witness who has relevant evidence to come forward.
But you've already interviewed. But you've already interviewed these two.
Well, you know, anybody is free to come back. And again, I've not been involved in the questioning of those particular witnesses.
I would just, as a journalist and as an American, appreciate more corroboration for the story, since as of now, it is hearsay. I mean, it is.
Oh, sure.
Somebody.
Oh, sure. It's hearsay. Says Jamie Raskin. He's on the committee. Yeah, of course. That's what we're out here promoting. Hearsay. And Jake Tapper, to his credit, he had some good questions there, but he gives the woman too much credit, saying that I'm sure this Amato guy told her that story, and he's already come out and said, no, I didn't. I didn't tell her that. He didn't lunge for the steering wheel. None of it happened. This woman, Cassidy Hutchinson, she's also made the claim that Mark Meadows, he was the chief of staff, she made the claim that Mark Meadows sought a presidential pardon from Donald Trump. And a spokesperson for Meadows has come out and said, that's not true. That never happened. And then, there's more. That's right. She sends this note, or she gives this note over to the January 6th committee, saying that, yeah, I authored this, I wrote this note, I was sounding the alarm. Remember, like I said yesterday, she's on a first-name basis with all of these people, Rudy, Donald, you know, all of them, okay? She's in the know, this 25-year-old. She presents this note. This is what ABC had to say about the handwritten note. The note that Cassidy Hutchinson testified was written by her was in fact written by Eric Hirschman. Wasn't even written by her. And she's telling the committee, yeah, I tried to sound the alarm. I tried to warn them, the Trump people. And then we find out she didn't even write this note. And yet, you listen to some of the coverage. Even though she's thoroughly discredited and debunked within hours. Listen to the talking heads, some of them. This is from CBS, Nora O'Donnell, clip 5.
There are a number of new questions tonight after the jaw-dropping testimony from Cassidy Hutchinson, the close aide to then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Some of the revelations could land members of Trump's inner circle and the former president himself in legal jeopardy. That includes Hutchinson's firsthand account of the former president encouraging his supporters to march to the Capitol, even after he was told that many of them had weapons. With these developments, eyes are on the Justice Department for possible criminal charges. Hutchinson's testimony was breathtaking in scope and devastating in details, including that presidential limo assault that she described.
These people have no shame. Breathtaking. Breathtaking, devastating, jaw-dropping. I mean, they pull out the thesaurus. If it's criticizing Donald Trump, out comes the thesaurus. I mean, he went for the clavicles. He went for the clavicles. It wasn't even just the clavicles. It was, as I said yesterday, this is like RoboCop. He's got one powerful hand on the steering wheel, another powerful hand on the clavicles. And if you've got a sense of humor, you've seen some of the memes on social media. It's a joke. It's a joke that so many are taking very, very seriously. As you just heard, it's jaw-dropping, right? And Applebaum, if the January 6th hearings don't change minds, nothing will. I mean, this is a game changer. The walls are closing in. If going for the clavicles doesn't cross a line, what does? Seriously. He strangled the Secret Service guy. Of course he shouldn't run, ever, ever, ever run again for president. Listen, this is, again, let me just revert back to this. I know we played the clip from yesterday, but listen to her. Again, this is Donald Trump. They were this close, 25th Amendment. He can't walk down ramps. He can't even lift a glass of water. He's that old. He's the oldest president we've had. He's about to die. Doesn't exercise. He's overweight. You heard the montage yesterday. Listen to her testimony again and notice. Sam's the one that won't let this go, so you can blame him for this repeat. Notice one hand on the steering wheel and the other hand on the clavicles. That's right. This is clip three.
The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, "Sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol." Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
We've got to reenact this, you guys in the control room. His free hand went to the clavicles. The other hand was on the steering wheel. So he's got the SUV. He's driving to the Capitol. He's strangling another guy. That's her testimony. And Liz Cheney, what did she say last night at the Reagan Library? I mean, this was bravery and patriotism on display. Listen to MSNBC's Nicole Wallace. I told you yesterday, Bret Baier at Fox News just ought to be ashamed of himself. Andy McCarthy, he's walking it back. I think he's writing a new article now every 90 minutes. He's walking it back because they've been made to look like fools. To talk about jaw-dropping testimony from this liar. This woman that, and you know how this plays out. She's going to get a job at CNN. She's already probably got the book deal. 15 seconds of fame. We've seen this play out before, haven't we? Listen to MSNBC's Nicole Wallace basically laughing at Bret Baier. This is clip two.
We are now hearing from the former president on various posts where he questions her accuracy. He goes after her directly, says he doesn't know who she is, and said he didn't lunge at the Secret Service agent in the Beast. That didn't happen. He says he didn't throw his lunch against the wall. That didn't happen, and that she's lying. Cassie Hutchinson is under oath on Capitol Hill. The president is on Truth Social, making his statements.
Made me laugh the first couple of times I heard it. It's ludicrous.
Yeah, she's laughing at Bret Baier. She's like, look, even Bret Baier understands how serious this is. She, after all, Cassidy's under oath. When she's testifying under oath, and says, I heard this from someone who heard this. She's telling the truth. Now, Donald Trump, he's just on Truth Social, so he can't be telling the truth. Shame on Bret Baier. Fox News. What has happened to Fox News? What has Trump derangement done to Fox News? There's a few exceptions, of course, Tucker and so on, but what has happened to that network? They're so deranged by the bad orange man. I mean, that affects everything that they say now. And here's Nicole Wallace over at MSNBC just laughing. Laughing. Playing along with Nora O'Donnell and all the others. Yeah, this is serious. Jaw-dropping. We don't even need to talk to the Secret Service guys. Look, the committee... We're out of session now. It's happy 4th of July. It's time to celebrate. Liz Cheney, she's already on the other side of the country. She's in California at the Reagan Library, praising the bravery of Cassidy Hutchinson. You would think she'd be profusely apologizing for deceiving the American people. No, she's proud of the lie. It's the big lie. Their big lie. What was Cassidy Hutchinson under oath for saying? She got up before the committee and she promised to tell the truth. And her story was what? That she heard something from someone who heard something. Listen to this breakdown from Jesse Waters' program last night, clip four.
He had responded something to the effect of, we're going to the Capitol. He said something to the effect of, there's a lot going on, Cass. Mr. Cipollone said something to the effect of, the president said something to the effect of, I'm the effing president. He said something to the effect of, he's really ticked off about this.
Has she been coached to say something to the effect of, so she doesn't perjure herself? You know, a little legal wiggle room? Truth doesn't matter. That's why you have Cheney hugging Hutchinson after her big debut. Why would a fair congressional investigator hug a witness? Isn't this supposed to be impartial?
Yeah, Cheney wasn't alone. I think Kinzinger was almost kissing her. So these are the two Republicans on the committee just hugging this woman after she testifies. Something to the effect of. He said something to the effect of over and over again. So when she's called out for it later, she can say, well, look, that was my recollection. He said something like that. I mean, I was telling the truth. She's been coached. She was told what to say. She was the star witness. This was the last hearing, at least for a while, because now they're off for July 4th celebrations. And the last thing they want to leave you with is that he went for the clavicles. He went for the clavicles. That's right. One hand on the steering wheel, and with the free hand, he went over for the clavicles. You see how serious this is? We've heard this before, have we not? Listen to this montage. I forget the name of this witness. This is here we're at impeachment 3.0. You had 2.0, and then you had 1.0, going back to that perfect phone call. Listen to this. Here's another star witness, and listen to him and the language that he used as he told his story from a couple years ago. This is clip 7.
We presumed, yeah, I was presuming that it was, presumably. That was my presumption, my personal presumption. Again, I was presuming it was a presumption. Again, I had made the presumption. I presumed it, yes. Again, that was my presumption. And I was presuming on the aid. I was presuming it was. That was my presumption, yeah. As my presumption, presumably. I've said repeatedly, Congressman, I was presuming other than my own presumption.
Which is nothing.
Exactly. It's nothing. This was my take. This was my presumption. Or in the case of Cassidy Hutchinson, he said something to the effect of over and over again, just like presumption from a few years ago. They lie. They lie. You see what happens when they cast the truth to the ground? This is Will Worship, Chapter 2, America Under Attack. Straight out of America Under Attack. Straight out of Colossians 2. It's true because we say it's true. If it didn't happen, if the Secret Service guys deny it, just so that you know, something like this could have happened because he's Trump. He's Trump. He smashes dishes. He goes for clavicles. These people, if they're not demon-possessed, they're coming under heavy, heavy influence from the devil. Of course they are. It's like I read yesterday, straight out of Daniel 8. This is what happens when you cast truth to the ground and when the transgressors come to the full. They just lie. They lie, and the bigger and the bolder and the more audacious and the more blatant the lies are, the better. They could have learned that from Adolf Hitler. Don't try to get off with a little white lie. The bigger, the better. The more you can't possibly believe it. Just state it. State it as fact, and then say to the world, she's courageous. And a hero to the little girls. Really, Liz Cheney? These people don't want the truth. They're burying the truth. They know they're lying. They know they're lying. This is from the Washington Examiner yesterday. But a conservative publication. Ann Applebaum, Andy McCarthy, Brett Baer. What's happening to these people? From the Examiner, it says here, Former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson's Tuesday testimony ought to ring the death knell for former President Donald Trump's political career. This is not the Washington Post. This is the Examiner. This is the conservative publication. Trump proven unfit for power again. Here's another one of many never Trumpers. Trump. All that the Washington Examiner has learned this week from this fake, fraudulent testimony from this woman seeking 15 seconds of fame. Trump is the problem. He went for the clavicles. Says here, Trump is unfit to be anywhere near power ever again. Hutchinson's resume alone should establish her credibility. What? This 25-year-old woman who's never done anything in her life? She's got the impeccable resume? And Donald Trump is the problem? It says here the 25-year-old had already worked at the highest levels of conservative Republican politics. Wow. So we look at her credentials. She once worked with Ted Cruz? What about Donald Trump? Let's look at Donald Trump's resume. Let's look at inflation and the energy independence just from the 4 years he was president. Or leave that aside. Look at his years and years and years as a real estate mogul, as a builder. Can't look at any of that. He went for the clavicles. Listen, he went for the clavicles. She has a perfect resume. Donald Trump, no. He's the bad orange man. Says here, Trump chief of... In short, Hutchinson was a conservative Trumpist, true believer, and a tremendously credible one at that. She did not overstate things, did not seem to be seeking attention, and was very precise about how and why she knew what she related and about which testimony was firsthand and which was secondhand but able to be corroborated. That's the Washington Examiner. In case you want to delete another bookmark on your internet traffic. It's unbelievable the way these people, these talking heads reason. They have literally, they've lost their minds. They've lost the ability to think and to reason with any kind of sense of fairness and justice. They've lost it. This is from Politico. It says here, less than a year ago, a GOP Senate victory in deep blue Washington state would have been unthinkable. But now Democrats are spending millions on advertising in several once reliable Democratic strongholds, including Washington, as Republicans build national momentum and push for new Senate pickups. See, 85%. That 85% in America believe we're on the wrong path, for sure. The midterms are fast approaching. And here are all of these commentators, talking heads, that carry on about what they see as the big problem in the United States of America. It's not inflation. It's not the wide open border. It's not the fact that 50 migrants are fried to death in a tractor trailer. None of that. That's not serious. What's serious is the man went for the clavicles. That's all that you need to know and understand. He went for the clavicles. It says here there's a similar panic in Colorado, where Tuesday's GOP Senate primary has also drawn millions of dollars in Democratic-funded ads to boost a far-right candidate. Politico says the majority of Colorado voters have an unfavorable view of Biden, 56%, while just 42% approve of the job he's doing as president. That's people in Colorado. I mean, Colorado may not be dark blue, but it's pretty much light blue. Colorado, Washington State? And that's where I grew up. I was on the good side of the state, but still, that's a deep, dark blue state. What is happening at the grassroots level? Politico's reporting on it. The AP, they asked Joe Biden point blank. 85% say we're on the wrong track. And what is Joe Biden's response? No, no, they don't. They don't think that. No, no. No, no. Let's get back. I mean, come on. Let's get back to the clavicles. Didn't you hear Liz Cheney last night at the Reagan Library? This woman is courageous. This woman, the Washington Examiner, says she didn't overstate things. Hutchinson, she did not seem to be seeking attention. She's just doing this for the love of her country. That's straight up reporting. Not from the Washington Post or the New York Times. That's the Washington Examiner. Right there with the National Review, right there with Andy McCarthy, right in line with Brett Baer, and right in line with the election desk at Fox News on November 3rd, 2020. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does He allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
And after I finished the 5 days of Paxlovid, I reverted to negative on an antigen test for 3 days in a row. And then on the fourth day, just to be absolutely certain, I tested myself again. I reverted back to positive by the antigen test. So it was sort of what people are referring to as a Paxlovid rebound. And then over the next day or so, I started to feel really poorly, much worse than in the first go around. So I went back on Paxlovid.
Paxlovid, four jabs. What else? I mean, he's mask wear, except when he's at baseball games with people. And he gets, he's on Paxlovid, and then it gets better, and then it gets worse. And then he gets it again. He gets the COVID again. This is the COVID czar. Doesn't that make you feel great about the experts and all the drugs that they recommend? I suppose if that were to continue, this exchange, he probably would have said, you know how much worse it would have been had I not gotten four jabs? You know how much sicker I would have gotten were it not for the Paxlovid? Look, I was on the Paxlovid rebound. Just tell me how courageous I am. Just tell me how much I tell the truth about everything. It doesn't really increase your faith in the experts. Scientists, falsely so-called, as the Apostle Paul said. So many lies, so much disinformation. And then they get up and they proudly, like Liz Cheney at the Reagan Library last night. Yeah, This woman who told this whopper of a lie, she's courageous. She's a hero. You would think someone would stand up and say, should you at least take into a... She named names. Hutchinson did. She named two people. And the two people have said it didn't happen. You would think someone would stand up at the Reagan Library and say, what are you talking about? She lied. The Secret Service says she's lying. But no, they get away with it. They get away with lying again and again and again. So no wonder they don't stop. No wonder they don't come out and say, you know what? I've been exposed as a liar, and I just want you to know. I mean, I got some of the facts wrong. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry about what I said. Never happens, does it? Because they keep getting away with it. Satan, John 8, verse 44, he's the father of lies. And as we've noted this week, Satan the devil and his demon army, they've been cast down to this earth. They're confined to this earth. They are. And they've got their fingerprints on just about everything right about now. What a contrast this is to God's heart. God is love, as it says in 1 John. God is love. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. God doesn't want us ever to bear false witness, to give a false report or a false testimony. He wants us to be seekers and promoters and tellers of truth. That's the heart that God wants to establish in us. Acts 13 and verse 22, over there God calls David, King David, a man after God's own heart. He says about David that he wanted to fulfill all of God's will. King David wanted to fulfill all of God's will. David never said, you know, you can go back and look at what he wrote or sang about in the Psalms. He never said, you know, I want to keep as many of those commandments as I can. I want to think about God's will to a point. Two, three of those commandments are especially good. That's what I really want to focus on. That's what I really want to be good at. No, David said, I love it, all of it. I love the whole law. I love everything about it. He was a man after God's heart, that Greek word for after there in Acts 13. It means total saturation of the mind and heart. That's what it means to be a man after God's heart. It means to think and to act the way that God does, and to do it heartily, to do it with your whole might, with everything, with all of your strength even. That's what it says over in the Gospel of Luke. Worship God with your whole heart, with your soul, with your mind, with all of your strength, everything that you can put into it. That's why, as I've said, you know, you look at how passionate so many people are for spreading filth or telling lies. Shouldn't we bring a little bit of passion to our truth-telling? Shouldn't we bring a little bit of passion into our worshiping of God? Of course we should. It's fine. It's fine to show some good godly emotion, even righteous indignation at times. Now, God wants us to keep it controlled. And there's certainly nothing wrong with presenting a message, you know, in a maybe more of a dry and pedantic kind of approach, I suppose. But you look at the prophets of old, you look at the disciples of Christ, you look at the apostles of the New Testament, you look at Jesus himself. There's verses that talk about Jesus screaming. Really? It wasn't unhinged, out of control emotion. God creates, he's the creator of emotion. In the world, of course, it's out of control. And it's used to further evil, the purposes of evil, and lies and deceit. But when it's channeled the right way, when it's all flowing in the direction of God's love, what a tool, what an instrument. That energy, the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's examples in the Bible of people praying. Well, Jesus himself prayed so earnestly, so effectually, so fervently, that he sweat blood. Others, they just ripped their clothes off. They tore their hair out. They poured oil all over them as they worshiped their Creator. Now, that's some kind of righteous passion that we want to bring into our service to God. What does it mean to have a heart like God has? To speak for God, to support God in His work, to love God with all of our heart, with all of our might, with all of our strength. 1 Samuel 13, notice verse 13, it says, "And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Eternal your God, which He commanded you, for now would the Eternal have established your kingdom upon Israel forever.'" So this was before David. And God, through Samuel the prophet, said to Saul, "Look, you've messed up here." His heart wasn't right. Verse 14, it says, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Eternal has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Eternal has commanded him to be a captain over his people, because you have not kept that which the Eternal commanded you." So this was what God was seeking from the very beginning. He was seeking a man after his own heart, and he wanted to establish a kingdom, a throne, in that man, by that heart. Notice 1 Samuel 16, this is early on, when David was anointed as king. Verse 7, 1 Samuel 16, 7, it says, "But the Eternal said to Samuel, 'Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Eternal sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Eternal looks on the heart.'" See, God doesn't, he doesn't look on human beings the way that this world does. You see all the shows. You can flip through the channels at night and see all these reality shows, all these pretty people. They look impressive. They look like they're leaders. They look like they've got it together. They look like they're successful. But what is going on in their hearts? What's going on in their attitudes? What's happening in their minds? There's a lot of ugliness, a lot of evil, a lot of filth. And they don't need to really talk for more than 3-4 words before you see it. They might look good on the outside, but on the inside, as Jesus said, they're full of dead men's bones. God looks upon the heart. He looks upon the inner beauty. You know the story here from 1 Samuel 16. Jesse putting all of his sons forward, except for the little shepherd boy out in the fields. He's the last one that I would put forward. He's the last one that I would present before God's prophet. He wasn't even in the room. He wasn't even considered, except by God. What does that tell you about the way God evaluates us, the way God looks at us, the way God judges us? Samuel said to Jesse, "Are there any other sons? I've looked at all of them. God hasn't chosen any of these, not the oldest, not anyone after him. Is there another one?" "Well, I mean, yeah, but he's just the little shepherd boy. He's just the little, he's tending to the sheep in the field." And Samuel said, "Well, go get him." Verse 12, it says, "And he sent, and he brought him in, Now he, David, was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to, and the Eternal said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. David had a very different heart than his brothers. He was a man after God's own heart, and that's why God selected him. That's why God selected him. You can look into the Psalms and see how that David was a student of God's word. You can see how he praised the laws of God. He loved the law of God. He loved to meditate on the law of God. That was his delight. That was his chief joy. That was his hobby, studying God's word. Studying God's truth. He loved God's government. He loved the laws of God. He loved the truth of God. Verse 17, here in 1 Samuel 16, it says, And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. So this is a pretty incredible sequence of events here. David, of course, waited for years and years and years before he was finally king. And during that time, Saul, of course, tried to kill him. Before that, he took David in to comfort him, to soothe him. Saul was harassed by demons and this demonic influence. And David, because he was such a skilled musician, was able to comfort Saul with his music on the harp. Verse 18, it says, Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man, a man of war and prudent in manners and a comely person, and the Eternal is with him. See, God was with him. We read those verses the other day, how that David grew great. You know, you fast forward a little bit in the story, and you see how that the kingdom of Israel under David, it grew great. Why? Well, because God was with him. Here's David in his teens, 16, 17 years of age. And already people were saying, God is with this young man. It's a shame that his own dad didn't see it, that his brothers didn't see it. They noted it later, I'm sure. But here were others that saw how responsible he was out in the field, how musically gifted he was, how much of a, really, a genius he was in so many ways. They put David forward when Saul needed help. God is with him. That's the key to greatness for any of us. Verse 19, it says, Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David your son, which is with the sheep. He's out with the sheep. Send him over. I'd like to give him a part-time job. I'd like to make use of this remarkable young man. Saul's assistants could see. They could see greatness in this young man's heart. King David, the one who would become King David. Verse 21, it says, And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. This begins this just incredible relationship between David and Saul. The respect, the honor that David gave to this king who didn't deserve it. Says a lot about this future king. What a contrast when you compare David with Saul, when you compare the works of David with that of Saul, who didn't have a heart like God's. Notice this in conclusion from 1 Chronicles 22. This chapter talks about the tremendous preparations that David put into building God's house. I mean, this is fast-forwarding quite a few years in the story. But 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 3, it says, And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight, also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Eternal must be exceeding magnifical of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. So that's just the way David rolled. He poured his heart into serving God. He poured his heart into doing God's work. In this case, building God's house. And you can see from all the preparations that went into this that it was infectious, this attitude, this heart that David had. Everyone pitched in. Everyone poured their hearts into it. What an example. That's the kind of heart we need. That's the kind of heart or influence that our children need to see, or our friends, our coworkers, our colleagues, whoever it is that we work with. We're not on soul-saving crusades. This is not about proselytizing or convincing someone to put their heart into God's work, but it is about being an example, letting our lights shine in this very dark and evil world. God needs, He needs for us to set the right example, for our moderation to be known, as it says in Philippians, for our lights to shine before men so that they might see it. A few emails here before we conclude. This is a short one. You totally won me over with your best show ever. When you said Trump went for the clavicle, I started crying. I assume he means tears of joy. Another one here says, I can't even adequately express how deeply I appreciate you, your father, Mr. Gerald Flurry, and all the brethren of the PCG for your dedication to supporting the gospel message of the coming kingdom of God and prophesying to nations of the coming tribulation. It says here, I listen to the Trumpet Daily Message and the Key of David broadcast every week. God our Father has been extremely merciful to me in not forsaking me and bringing me back to the true church of God. I realize that God has beaten the vanity out of me and made me realize how much I depend on Him every day. He continues, I've been reading your father's book, America Under Attack, online. It'll surely get the attention of our current president's fraudulent government. I pray that we're prepared for the onslaught that it will bring, the attention that this book will bring. Another one here says, hello and greetings to the best source of information out there. My best friend introduced me to your website and also to your Roku channel, one of the many ways that you can get to this program, among other things that the church produces. Another one here says, thank you for supplying the earth with the best, most important news and advice on the planet. I've been watching, listening to the TD every day. I don't like to miss it either. It says here, another one does, how wonderful it is to have one place on earth where we can hear the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So God, as God so helps us, it says, please keep blowing the trumpet with all your might. Another one here says, when Cassidy Hutchinson was in front of the January 6th committee this morning, they placed her under oath. Then they played clip after clip of her speaking, not under oath. Way to go. Way to say whatever you want under oath and avoid perjury. They don't miss a trick, it says here. Then most of the rest of her words were either vague or speculative or double hearsay and non-admissible except in front of the kangaroos. What was it that Jesse Waters drew attention to? He said something to the effect of. He said something to the effect of. It's all carefully worded and scripted. Another one here finally says, great programs lately. It's almost like we're watching a slow motion movie going on, except it's very real and very sobering. It's obvious that everything that is going on around the world with the economy and society is unsustainable. Only God knows for how long. If you'd like to email the show, you can send us an email at td at thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. We'll see you next time.